Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in the Standard, 4-star review in the Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It's another Retro AI Ottoma Friday, and we're up to episode 9 now. We're near the end of the first series. This is back in the 7th of December 2009. And I was moving in with my then-girlfriend, Catherine Wilkins. I wonder whatever happened to her. I guess we'll never know. You just lose touch with some people. What? Oh, I had 2 children with her, apparently. And she's downstairs right now. What a beautiful love story that is. Hope you are surviving the coronavirus okay. And you're getting through this lockdown period, if it's still going as I speak. I've recorded this a couple of weeks in advance. It's still going. Well, don't fool yourself, Herring. The revenue raised from replaying these shows will be used to go to Heckle the Virus, justgiving.com page, and also to finally pay the cast. And that's just kind of fun to listen to them again with the benefit of hindsight and realise what lucky fools we were back then and how ridiculous we were in our attempts to be offensive back in those early years of the 2000s. How things have changed. There we were young and now we are old. And what can I say? I was a foolish man of just 42 years old. Okay, I hope you enjoy these and see you again next week for the last in the series. But we'll keep playing them as long as this lockdown carries on. Bye!
As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me.
And please welcome the man it's all occurred to, Richard Herring.
Square. I love you. Oh, baby. Hello, thanks. Welcome to episode 9 of the show that all the women who independent, all the honeys who making money, all the mamas who profit dollars, and all the ladies who truly feel me are calling AI Ottoma. But could I request that you all stop throwing your hands up at me? I don't really know what to do with all these severed women's hands I've been getting. I can only wank myself off with a woman's severed hand so many times before the thrill begins to pull. So you'll need those hands as well to maintain your independence and money-making schemes, girls. So hold on to them, and especially to feel me. That's important. I like the ladies who truly feel me the best out of all of you. But unfortunately, there are not that many ladies here who want to feel me. Most of our audience are strange men with slightly starry eyes who like to collect knives and don't realise that Doctor Who is a children's programme. Who want to feel me. I don't want you
you to feel me. Leave me alone. If only I could swap fan bases with Tiger Woods. It'd have turned out a lot better for both of us. He wouldn't have wanted to have sex with any of you. And the cocktail waitresses wouldn't have been able to find any newspaper willing to buy their sordid stories about me. So it would have been perfect. But this is the internet stand-up and sketch show with only one sound effect that's all about things that have happened to me and my zany friends this week, written and recorded in a day and a half, and then whacked straight out to the world without no editing nor nothing. It's the same technique that Ben Elton uses to write his novels. Except we have the decency to read it through once before we put it out, just to check it isn't complete fucking shit. Here's some things that have occurred to me this week.
Thursday.
AI Ottima. Thank you. Is featured on posho BBC Two intellectual programme The Culture Show.
The Culture Show.
Yeah, good. Well done. Could be a long night. I was on the telly. I just want to be on the telly. That's all I want. I was being... I'd even do Hole in the Wall if I'm that desperate. I don't care that it would make me look like I've got a little tiny mouse down my pants. Look like a beach ball. It could have been a massive publicity coup, except for the fact that for some reason The Culture Show thought this show was called As Good As It Gets. How did that happen? Should we name check the? Should we just check the name before we write the caption? It'll only take a second. No, I remember it. It's got five words. It begins with as. It's got an it in it somewhere. It's got to be As Good As It Gets, hasn't it? Jesus Christ! How can they confuse this show with the Jack Nicholson film As Good As It Gets? This is completely. That's about a bitter, racist, homophobic, anti-Semitic misanthrope who suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder and annoys and upsets pretty much everyone he meets. That's nothing. That's nothing like me. I like some of the Jews. Not the gay ones, mind.
Friday.
No doubt influenced by AI Ottima. Peter Kay put out tickets for sale for a comedy show he hasn't even written yet. Unlike this show, he sold all 400,000 tickets in 3 hours. If I did this show every week of the year at current sales levels, it would take me 38 and a half years to sell that many seats. And another 19 years if you include the tickets he sold in Manchester. Plus, his tickets cost 3.5 times the price of mine, meaning it would take me almost 200 years of weekly gigs to equal his gross ticket sales. There's no joke at the end of this. I just wanted to share these depressing statistics with you so you could appreciate how tragic and sad I feel on a daily basis. Still, if everyone who goes buys a piece of Peter Kay merchandise, that's £600,000 to children in need and only another million or so into the bulging, overfull pockets of Peter Kay. I wish I was dead. The only slight consolation is that Peter Kay probably feels as baffled and upset and thinks that the British public must be mostly cretins when he looks at how many people have bought Susan Boyle's album this week.
Saturday.
I wrote to T-Mobile telling them that if I had unlimited text for life, I wouldn't form a pretend supergroup and fanny around on the top of an open-top bus. Mainly because I don't see how having unlimited text would help me do that. Surely I'd need about 7 texts and then only be able to contact people who played musical instruments whose numbers I happen to already know. If they're serious about giving out unlimited text for life, then what I would do if I had that is work my way through every single mobile number starting at 07000000000, then 07000000001, right through to 07999999999, and text, "You are a stupid fucking cunt," to everyone in the country. Partly because it would be fun to do that. Partly because it would be free. That's the beauty of it. But mainly because eventually I would chance across the numbers of Jan Moyer, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, and everyone who bought tickets for Peter Kay or Susan Boyle's new album.
As good as it gets, given its obvious limitations.
As it occurs to me. Usually we record this show at 8 p.m, but this week TV funny man Stuart Lee took our regular spot at the Leicester Square Theatre, so we start at 9:30, which is weird for us. It means for the first time we're post-Watershed, which is quite interesting. It's going to be a bit like Hollyoaks After Dark. A little bit ruder than normal, a little bit sexier than normal, almost certainly involving the violent death of one of our regular cast. Probably Dan Tetzel in a Wicker Man again, as usual. It was... It was quite a big ask for us to get ruder and sexier and more violent than normal, but we're going to give it a go, because we've got the opportunity. So bearing that in mind, will you please welcome our cast, TV's Emma Kennedy, lezzing up with an aborted fetus. Dan Tetzel, wearing his grandfather's SS uniform whilst bumming Basil Brush.
Yeah, go on. Say boom boom now, you little cunt. Oh, yeah.
And Christian Riley, continuously saying the phrase, monkey scrotum.
Monkey scrotum, 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 monkey scrotum.
Yeah.
Monkey scrotum.
Pretty racy, I'm sure you will agree. Anyway, what's occurred to you this week, Dan?
Well, on Tuesday, I found myself at the Leicester Square Theatre. Yeah. Judging the sitcom trials, sitcom competition. Yes,
that's
right.
Is that a punishment for
someone? No. Someone had dropped out, and I was a last-minute replacement. I hate whoever dropped out. Honestly, it was all very good stuff, and I judged it adequately. I realise this may about make me sound sort of elitist and snobby. But on the way out, I was handed a thank you gift. And I went, oh, thank you very much. And it had a little silver... It was obviously a bottle of something. And it had a little, you know, gold top on it. Foil gold top. Not a milk bottle. A bottle of something fizzy, lovely. And I got out on the street and had a look at it. Sainsbury's Rosé Carver. That's right. Sainsbury's Rosé Carver. Now, if you're running a sitcom competition and you're listening to this and you want to give someone... a bottle of Carver to say thank you for. Don't get the ones that are own brand Sainsbury's and don't get rote. I know this isn't funny. I just want to get it out there in case you're all thinking about it. I know you two like Rosé Carver. It's no one in their right mind.
You got a free present from them, that's not.
I know I've turned the audience, I don't care.
And his granddad was in the SS.
Yeah, you're lucky. If my granddad had got that, then there'd have been trouble.
Actually, he probably quite liked it. He was working class.
Anything happened to you, Christy?
I've just been on the road as usual. A lot of time in hotels. I was in Liverpool this weekend, and it gave me time to think about, life and the universe and everything. And I came up with this idea about love, and I want to share it with you now. I kind of understand things musically. And so I understand love musically. I'll explain it to you. When you fall in love, it's like when you buy a CD. You turn on the radio and there's a new artist. You think, hey, I like the sound of this new artist. I think I'm going to buy that CD. You get the CD home. Now it sounds like this. It's not quite as sweet as I remember it sounding on the radio, but, you know, it's still a pretty good CD. Track two comes on, sounds like this. Hey, you reject the CD. What the hell was I thinking? That's the worst CD ever. So you just think, wow, that's it for me for a while now. You know, then it gets a bit quiet. You turn on the radio again because you're a bit bored, and there's a new artist. I like the sound of this new artist. It's completely unlike anything I've heard before in my life. I think I'm going to buy that CD. You get this CD home, track two sounds like this. Think, oh fuck, I've been here before. You start scrubbing through the tracks. Track three sounds like this. You're like, oh, it's going. You want to know what you're in for? You go right to the end, okay? Track 12 sounds like this. Like, all right, they can't all be singles. You know, on any given album, there's going to be a bit of filler. It's a pretty good album on balance. I love this CD. I'm sticking with this CD. Anyway, there's a secret track. Do you want to know what that sounds like? It sounds like this. You're trying to eject the CD. It won't come out. It's stuck. That's marriage. I know. I know there's a lot of people... young people who probably download this podcast and in this audience tonight that probably can't relate to buying a CD. I understand that. That's exactly good because you're downloading and file sharing and all of that stuff. That's exactly like your love life as well. I'll have a bit from you and a bit from you and a bit from you, and eventually you get a virus. I'm sad and warn you, young people.
I'm glad I'm not the only one having a breakdown on this show. So good. in public? Anything happened to you, yeah, Emma Kennedy?
There was one massive thing that happened to me, which we'll get to in a minute, but which wasn't particularly funny, so I'll save that.
That's building up, but the
only sort of slightly funny thing that happened to me is I went to see Oliver. Have you seen it, the musical?
Oliver.
Exclamation
They've
mark.
Never even heard of it. Blank.
You must know what Oliver! Exclamation mark, the musical is, yes? Yeah. Right, thank you.
Of course we do.
So I went to see it, and I went with Miranda Hart off of Miranda.
Wow, you were.
And we found ourselves sitting next to the little boy who is actually going to be the next Oliver. And he did this thing where he was obviously a bit overexcited because Miranda Hart was sitting on the other side of me. But he did that thing, which is quite rude, which is he had this bag of gobstoppers and he really like shoved past me to get to her to offer her a gobstopper. And I thought, oh, that's sweet. And I just sat and waited. Did he offer me one? Fuck no. I hope Bill Sykes kills him. Anyway, the big thing that happened to me this week, which I have to tell you because otherwise we can't do the segue into the next section,
right,
is that I was sitting at my computer on Friday morning and there was a sudden very large explosion. And I thought, what's that? And I went to the door into my cellar and I opened it and my boiler had literally like properly exploded and there was smoke coming out the top of it and there was hot water gushing out of the bottom of it. And I did that thing that I think most women do, is you see something catastrophic and you just close the door again. And you just think, okay, well, I'm just going to leave it 10 seconds and then I'll open it again and it won't be there this time. But I did, and there was sort of this overwhelming smell of gas, so I had to phone the gas board and they literally went, evacuate, evacuate, evacuate. And I was still in my pyjamas. So I ran out of the house and I was in my pyjamas in my street. And bear in mind, my neighbours have now seen me pooing in a bucket.
Do you live in a fun house, a circus or something?
It's ridiculous.
Everything breaks and falls apart.
And the awful thing was...
The boiler's exploded, smoke's coming out the top of it.
I thought, I'm in my pyjamas, maybe I could go round to my neighbours. And I remembered it was just the walnut-faced old gonk who had shot me to the council for allegedly knocking down chimneys. Like, literally, my life is a mess. Anyway, I was standing in the street and I thought, oh no, I've left the most precious thing in my life in the house, because bear in mind I've got a beagle, and I ran in and got my MacBook Pro and then ran out again, just left the dog in there. Anyway, it's been fine.
Some dog food bills, wouldn't
it?
Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, it's been a bad week for household appliances.
Oh, that was seamless. Did you notice that? It was seamless.
Look what happened to me this week.
Monday.
Tragedy struck just as I was putting the final touches to last week's script. I was professional. It was the worst thing that's happened to me this whole year. I didn't let it affect my performance. You won't have even known, but it was a proper full-on tragedy. My dishwasher, which has cleaned my dishes for the last 7 years, finally irreparably broke down. I didn't know how I could cope with my loss. Luckily, my friends rallied round. I can't believe it's finally gone.
I know.
Let it out. Come on. I mean, is it definitely broken? Why don't you turn it on so we can listen to what sound it makes?
What?
I'm just interested to hear what a broken dishwasher might sound like. Spinning around.
What are you talking about, Dan? It's broken. It doesn't make any sound, weirdo. It's just it's always been there for me ever since I moved into this house. It looked old and knackered then. I always assumed it would go, but it's lasted all this time.
Yeah, it's had a good knock, Rich. You know, it's over a decade old. I mean, dishwasher years, that's over 100. Mm. So.
And at least it died doing what it enjoyed, cleaning your dirty, shitty plates.
I'm heartbroken. I really am. It's awful. There's no way out of this.
You could always buy a new dishwasher.
Dan! How could you suggest such a thing?
No, it's not the time, Dan. It's too soon. Come on. Okay, the wounds are still raw. I mean, maybe in time, Richard will feel ready to get back out there in the market for a new dishwasher. Come on, give him time to grieve.
Sorry, I don't understand. It is just a dishwasher.
Shut up!
It's not just a dishwasher, Dan. It's my dishwasher. It washed my dishes. It meant I never had to wash up.
Can I... Can I read you a poem? It might help,
that's
Rich.
That's nice, that'd be nice. Could be good.
Do not stand at my grave and weep. I'm not there. I do not sleep. I'm a thousand winds that blow.
It's emotional. Don't you break up as well.
It's hot. I'm the diamond glints on snow. I'm the sunlight on ripened grain. I'm the gentle autumn's rain. When you awaken in the morning's hush, I'm the sweet uplifting rush of quiet birds in circled flight. I'm the soft star that shines at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die.
Well, that's beautiful. That, I mean, you could be in a film or something doing that. Like an audition piece almost, except that instead of grave, that should really read the skip down the road that belongs to someone else, but which I'll dump me in the dead of night. That's apart from that, perfect.
Sorry, isn't this just a bit over the top? It's not that big a disaster. It's not like your boiler exploded and flooded your whole house.
Yeah, that'd be awful.
That would never happen.
Because this is.
It's just a dishwasher.
You don't understand, do you, Dan? My cleaner isn't coming round for 3 days.
You could always wash up by hand.
Oh, God, no!
Nice one, Jesus! We just can't get down!
Oh. So it was a bit of a crap start to the week, that's all I'm saying. I mean, no, I'm not thinking I'm overreacting there. And I promise this is just a crazy coincidence, but on Tuesday, the day after my dishwasher broke down, my girlfriend moved in to live with me in my house. It's just a coincidence. That's the.
Wait a cotton picking moment. Your girlfriend? You've got a girlfriend?
Yeah, because I've got a girlfriend. We've been going out for nearly 2 years now.
But what about me, Richard Keith? I mean, I know we have the whole playful badinage thing where we pretend to find each other sexually repugnant. But, you know, I was sure we'd get married one day.
It's never going to happen, Kennedy. Even if every other human being on Earth was wiped out, apart from us, and the survival of the human race depended on us having sex,
yes.
I would still rather go off and copulate with a monkey in the vain hope of creating a simian-human hybrid. And if I did that, the child me and the monkey would have would still look less like a monkey than whatever sprung out of your clacker.
Right, you do know that until the human race is wiped out, there is actually no need for you to have sex with monkeys. You do know that, yes?
I have to keep practicing, so I'm well prepared if that nightmare post-apocalyptic monkey orgy scenario ever comes to place.
So, is your girlfriend a monkey?
No, she is not, Emma Kennedy. She is a human woman.
Though she's presumably blind and deaf with no sense of smell or touch, and is also a monkey.
No, Emma, she's a beautiful woman with at least 4 of the 5 senses working perfectly.
But you've never lived with anyone. I mean, I always thought you were like Cliff Richards.
How dare you! I might fuck monkeys, but I'm not into the kind of sick stuff he takes.
I thought you were a bachelor boy, and that's the way you'd stay.
Oh, right, you mean that. Oh, right. I said, you know, I thought I was a bachelor boy, and that's the way I'd stay, too.
Well,
you know,
we
I'm
all
42
did.
And a half years old, and I've never lived with someone in my life, so this is the first time ever. It's a big, big moment.
Tragic, isn't it?
So it was. It was quite a moment when she finally moved in.
Oh, Rich, my love, I can't believe we're living together. This is the happiest day of my life.
We just stop it there for a second. Emma, are you playing my girlfriend as some kind of troll? Is that a troll or something?
Sorry. Is that not
No,
right?
I've told you, she's a woman. She's a very attractive human woman. So
right,
do the
okay.
Act the thing properly. Don't be jealous.
Oh, all right, then, okay. Oh, Rich, I'm so happy about all this, but I don't understand, you know, why now? Why this sudden change of heart?
Just felt like it was the right time. Shall I show you around our new home?
Yeah, but I've been here before.
Yeah, I know. Look, here we are. in their kitchen?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah, have a good look round it. It's nice, isn't it? Anything you notice different?
No, not really.
Look a bit closer at over there in that direction over there.
The sink seems unusually full of dishes and dirty cups and sort of surrounded by swarm of flies.
Yeah, it is, and it does look a bit weird. Yeah, it's weird. I hadn't spotted that.
Are you wanting me to wash up? If you only said I can live here because your dishwasher is broken.
Of course not. I'm a new man and think that men should take an equal share of the washing up duties.
Oh, thank goodness for that, then.
But, you know, it is my house and I own it. I've paid for it. I'm not charging you any rent. It's free. So surely it's only fair that you pull your weight a bit, at least until I buy a new dishwasher, which point, you know, you can leave if you like.
But
you can go if you want.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe there's a more interesting way I can repay your kindness than doing the washing up, Rich.
Well, there's quite a lot of dead, wet leaves clogging up the patio. You could have a look at that if you were.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
Don't give me that. This is just the first step towards you owning this house. This is all for you. All you have to do is marry me, and then, even easier, divorce me, and all this house will be yours. So it seems that cleaning a few cups is a small price to pay for you. I know what you're up to, you scheming, house-stealing cow. And I'm more than happy to go along with that. As long as I don't have to do the fucking washing up. My house is the least I can give you for that.
This is the most romantic day of my life.
Yes, it is.
As it occurs to me, does he wash up? He never wash up. Does he clean up? He never cleans up. Does he brush up? It seems unlikely given my previous answers. Do I get the house at the end of this? Yes, of course you do. It's the circle of life.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Beautiful.
Tuesday.
Some amazing news on Tuesday. I got word that As It Occurs to Me has been nominated for the Best Podcast Award at the Loaded Laughters. Yeah, I know. I feel conflicted about that as well. It's kind of brilliant getting nominated for an award, mainly because that never, ever happens to me. But on the other hand, I have been nominated by Loaded. Is this actually some kind of veiled insult? If something shit thinks you're funny, does that make you funny or just super shit? I mean, no, it could be worse. You know, Nuts could have nominated me for something, or a piece of toilet paper smeared in dog excrement could have put me up for an accolade. But no, I shouldn't be churlish about it. I've never won a major comedy award, and I'd really like to, so I don't know how to feel about being nominated for the Loaded Award. It's like being cock-slapped by Jesus. You'd be thinking it's brilliant, you know, that the risen Christ has chosen me out of everyone to be the one that he whips around the head with his semi-erect penis. But at the end of the day, I am still getting slapped in the face with a man's cock. And it's quite painful. It would be quite humiliating. Ow! Oh, jeez, watch it, Jesus. That was my eye.
I'm sorry, my child. I didn't mean to be rough.
Well, I didn't say stop it, did I, Jesus?
Oh, sorry, I thought...
Go on, hit me. Ow! Oh, God, it's so big, Jesus. I thought the true Messiah would have a humble cock. I mean, I've seen the Turing Shroud. There's nothing there, mate. The whole pelvic region's just a mass of dark nothingness. It looks like Susan Boyle's muff.
It was very cold in that tomb, and I was dead. But normally, mate, it's like a baby's arm holding an apple, as you can see.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes, when my dad was making it, I was all, come on, mate. A bit more. Don't be stingy. Stick a bit more on the end there. Come on. Got a whole big tub of cock plasticine there. Go on. Roll me out a proper amount. Then I was all like, hey, dad, what are you doing touching my cock so much? Yeah? Rolling it around in your almighty hand. I'm going to get social onto you. Yeah? Should have seen his face. Though had you looked upon it, you would have been burned up into a pillar of salt. Yeah, so anyway.
Ow!
Now turn the other cheek. There we go.
Look, I don't mind you slapping me in the face with your cock, oh Lord, but...
What is it, my child?
Ow! It's just... You do love me, don't you, Jesus?
I love everyone.
No, don't get all Tiger Woods on me. I don't mind doing this kinky stuff, but only if we're in a committed, exclusive relationship.
I love you best.
That's not good enough.
I died for you, that you might have everlasting life.
I don't care about that. Why are you always going on about that?
Well,
it was 2,000 years ago.
What
have you done lately? Nothing. Not even the washing up. Could have at least magicked my dishwasher so it works again.
Oh, don't start nagging. I'm nearly there.
Tell me you only love me or you... Tell me you only love me or you can put that thing back in your loincloth. I don't care who you are or who your dad is. I am not a slag.
I love only you.
Oh, Jesus, you've made me the happiest man alive.
Yeah, take it, bitch.
Ow!
Oh, yeah. Ow! Oh, me. Oh, me. Oh, dad. Oh, me. Oh, me. Oh, my dad and my virgin mum.
Oh, God. Oh. Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, it Look. It tastes of nectar points and ambrosia creamed rice. It's so weird. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And if I'm honest, they're stinging a little bit. Anyway, that was fun. My turn now. Jesus, wank me off with your stigmata.
I'm a bit tired, actually.
Well, should we just spoon and cuddle?
I forgot. I'm late for an appointment. I've got to go and cure a leper. Sorry.
There aren't even any lepers left. Jesus Christ, you lied to me.
Yeah, and I don't love you either. I don't even like you, skanky hoe.
Oh, Jesus. Still, you can't help but love him, can you? Mm.
As it occurs to me, I got cock slapped by Jesus. And I liked it, the taste of his creamed rice dipstick. I got cock slapped by Jesus and I liked it. I hope my girlfriend don't mind it. Cock slapped by Jesus.
That sketch probably wouldn't have got past Radio 2 compliance. To any Christians listening, I am not for a second saying that Jesus, in reality, would ever cock-slap someone. Because it's my sincere personal belief that he has no genitalia, just a smooth groinal area like an action man. That is my belief. I'm just saying it would be confusing. If he did, wouldn't it? You'd be a bit pleased, wouldn't you? You know you would. You'd be showing off in church about it the next day. It would be odd. Anyway, when you listen to something like that, a sketch about me being cock-slapped by a promiscuous and mendacious Christ, it's hard to believe that in my whole comedy career, I've only won three awards in that whole time. They were...
Award one. The Kings of Wessex Ex-Pupil of the Year, 1996.
That's right. In 1996, I received a £20 book token from my old school in Somerset. I'd left 11 years previously as an acknowledgement of my success. Not because I'd been on TV, but because I'd travelled beyond Bristol and not fallen off the edge of the world or been eaten by a dragon.
Award two. Games Master Golden Joystick.
Yeah, that's it. It's true. Thank you. It means more to me than anything else I have. I won that. That's generally, I won it for beating Stuart Lee at a video game during an uneasy and embarrassed appearance on the cult 90s children's programme Games Master. You can see it on YouTube if you really want to. I expect that still rankles the Terry Christian-faced comedian as he polishes his Olivier Award and all the baubles he's won for being the best stand-up comedian in the world and counting all his money for selling out the Leicester Square Theatre every night. Bad luck, Leo. I am better than you at one specific video game, in the opinion of Patrick Moore's giant disembodied head.
Award 3. The Daily Telegraph Worst Comedy Experience 2005 Award.
That's right. Thank you. Daily Telegraph critic Dominic Cavendish had picked out my stand-up show, Someone Like Shoggart, as the worst thing to have happened in comedy in the previous 12 months. Not just on stage or TV, everything, including conversations in pubs, jokes told by three-year-old kids, everything. It's amazing. And you have to think about it, that year saw the debuts of both Titty Bang Bang and Balls of Steel. So that was quite an achievement. To see just how bad Someone Like Yogurts, it really is. I can't even say it. Someone Likes Yogurt, really is. Please head to www.gofasterstripe.com and buy the DVD. It's the perfect Christmas gift for someone you don't really like. I do also, as you probably have guessed, have grade 5 trumpet merit. But those are my only awards. I spent my book token, I foolishly, I can't believe this, threw away my golden joystick into a skip when we moved offices. Imagine what that would have fetched on eBay. And the Daily Telegraph didn't even cough up a trophy. So the awards cabinet I built in 1989 in a fit of hubris is filled with naught but dust. 20 years of dust and broken dreams. So even though getting an award for comedy from Loaded is like getting an award for humanitarianism from Robert Mugabe, I really, really want to win. Look, and you know, look who I'm up against. My podcast is definitely better than Chris Moyle's. There's no question about that. I've done a lot more episodes than Lazy Frankie One podcast That'll Do Boyle. I'm only slightly less funny than Rod Gilbert's, and admittedly nowhere near as good as Adam and Joe's, but don't let that put you off. Don't let that stop you voting for me. Make my dream come true. I just want one award before I die, even if it's from Loaded, who, if they're listening to this podcast, it might put them off. But anyway, no, it's voted for you. Go to www.loaded.co.uk /comedy/laughters/vote and try and work out their complicated logging in procedure. Persevere through it. They kind of seem to be reticent to let you get to the voting pages at all. So it might, you know, if we can find a few intelligent people who are patient, we might actually win it just through sheer diligence. So give me a tiny sliver of hope that I might actually win, so it'll make my ultimate obvious failure all the more comedically satisfying. My whole career will be ruined if I ever won at anything. Only by continuing to fail can I be a success.
As it occurs to me, if he succeeds, then he fails. But if he fails, he succeeds. Which means he fails, which means he succeeds, and on into infinity, until God gets bored and marks him down as a fail. No returns. Maybe he shouldn't have done that stuff about Jesus. Oh, well.
Wednesday.
The good thing about being nominated for an award for Best Podcast was getting to tell my long-time podcast collaborator, Andrew Collings, about it.
So here we are again, Richard, up in your attic, about to record another Collings and Herring podcast. Collings and Herring podcast. This 1 hour, 6 minutes and 36 seconds is the highlight of my week. It is all that makes my stupid Northampton life worthwhile. I'm from Northampton, am I? All right. I wish someone had told me that a few weeks ago. Oh, well, too late now.
Yes, Andrew, I feel the same, except for the fact that this 1 hour, 6 minutes and 36 seconds is the low point of my week. No. Apart from that, it's exactly the same experience.
I love it when you pretend to bully me, but we should really wait till we started recording.
Oh, Andrew, before we do that, I've got some good news to tell you.
Oh, really? Are you going to ask me to be in the all-new Thryling 3? Code word is licorice. I don't mind if you are the leader. Angus Ashman looks after any money we might earn. I don't want to be anyone.
It's about the Loaded Laughter Podcast Awards.
What? I've never won an award in my whole life.
Really? Because I've got three, including one from the Daily Telegraph.
Oh, I wish I were you.
I know you do. How many Collings and Herring podcasts have we done this far?
This will be our 93rd. We've been going for nearly 2 years with barely an acknowledgement for all our hard work.
And you know my new podcast?
AI Otomy, yeah. Oh, are you going to ask me to appear in the last episode? I just want to be on the episode. Please let me be on the last episode.
Yeah, you're not Rod Hull, you know. You're Andrew Collins.
I know. Let me be on the podcast.
No. No, stop doing that with your arm. That will never... That will never happen. How many of those, as that occurs to me, have I done?
You've only done eight. You've only been going a paltry 2 months.
I know, it would be terribly unfair if that new podcast got nominated for the award and the one we've done for so long together got nothing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be awfully unfair.
Well, check on, Andrew Collins. You am a twat. Because that is exactly what has happened.
Oh, dear. Oh. Well done, Richard. I'm very proud of you. I'm thrilled. It is a thrilling result.
Don't be like that. I'm attempting to undermine you just before we start recording in some kind of strange attempt to sabotage something I'm also involved in. Like, I'm like some kind of stupid Pyrrhus.
Well, I can't feel bad, Richard. You can't be bitter about other people's success or it'll eat you up like a cancer. It's like I came up with the idea of writing about my childhood and loving 1983 and remembering things from it. And then Peter Kay came along and made millions of pounds out of doing the same thing, except saying it in a funny northern accent. Sorry, funny northern accent. And I thought, good luck to him.
Stop being so reasonable.
Well, the way I see it is life is like a roulette wheel. You throw in your ball. You throw in your ball. And then the roulette wheel is spinning. Throw in the ball. Throw in the ball. Throw in the ball.
No, Collins, only I get to use the roulette wheel sound effect. And this is show 9 of the series. You can't use... At this point, you can't use the roulette wheel sound effect to represent the roulette wheel. That would be ridiculous. We have to take it to surreal and fanciful heights so it represents something it doesn't even sound like. Look out the window, Andrew. That fat pigeon that's always coming around. Look, it's flying in to land. Look. There, look, you can hear its, its wings. There's his wings beating up and down. It's landing on the branch. Can you hear that? Now, if you close your eyes, there's the unmistakable sound of him feeding worms to his children. That's one worm jiggling in. Listen, a hawk has swooped down. It's tearing the pigeon apart. Listen to his familiar pigeon shriek of death. Was it there? Was it the end? That's how you have to use a running gag at this late stage of the series.
No, you are a comedy genius.
That is right.
And you deserve your award nomination.
Thank you.
Though, of course, Frankie Boyle will win.
He's only done one podcast. That's so unfair.
You are Frankie Boyle's Andrew Collings. We all have an Andrew Collings.
But who is your Andrew Collings, Andrew Collings?
I don't have an Andrew Collings. I am at the bottom of the pile. A whipping boy. With no one to whip. Just let me be on the podcast!
No! I will never do that!
It's me, Susan Boyle. Don't you dare call me mental. I'll stab you in the eye with a knitting needle. I haven't really got anything to say to any of yous, but my appearance last week seemed to go down so well that we might as well trot out the same basic thing again this time round. Because if anyone knows about giving the public what they want without any regard for actual worth or artistic merit, then it's me, Subo! Okay, then the pee's coming out on my face! Don't you dare call me mental! So, anyway, I thought I'd pop by and show you my clack-a-lack-a-dack-dack! Look at it! If any man ever tried to give me oral sex, he'd end up being mistaken for a Buckingham Palace guard wearing all the bearskin helmets in the guard room. But no one has ever given me oral sex. Don't patronise me! Stop looking at the mange, you pervert! for buying my album. You stupid, 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 gullible cunts.
Susan Warner. That was really her. Talking of mentally ill people.
I'm not mental.
It's time to interact with our audience. To risk death and rape in that order. By going down to this crowd of misfits and people who couldn't get tickets to see Stuart Lee and thought this might be inappropriate. I apologise if that was you. To find out what's occurred to them this week. Anyone got a story from this week? Hands up if you've got a story. Anyone? No one? Nothing? Oh, there's someone at the back there. Hello, sir. What happened to you this week? Did Dan, did you ever find a copy of I Don't Smoke by DJ D-Cry?
I did find a copy of I Don't Smoke to Reefer.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my God! I should explain.
Dan Tetzel got a fan.
Oh, my God. Could it's a vinyl copy.
Could you have not done this after the podcast?
I should explain. It's a... Oh, my... That's extraordinary.
What's your name, sir? Nick there
Nick,
has given
I
you...
I must exchange... I'll give you some money or some... Actually, no, it was rubbish. I'll give you something better than money. Oh, that's extraordinary.
This is a record that I believe Dan Tetzel mentioned on a previous...
It's a novelty garage record that that sampled a garage. That's right. It's got the drum and the bass. And it sampled a sketch I wrote. And so I got a writing credit on a number 11 hit. Thank you very much.
And now you've got a copy. You must feel like J.R. Hartley now today.
Thank you very much.
Today.
What's your name again? Sorry?
Do you have
Nick,
I don't smoke? Do you have a copy of I Don't Smoke the Reefer? Who's it by
DJ
Decline?
Oh, that's extraordinary.
Good. Has anyone had something that's happened to them rather than trying to get off with Dan Tetzel?
With
the use, it'll do it as well, Nick. You've heard he's wonderful. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's
crazy. He's got a bit weird now. As they always do. Anyone else got anything to say? Just we can move on. We've got plenty of material. We don't need you. Everyone's well. There's a gentleman there with a beard. What's happened to you, sir?
Didn't necessarily happen to me, but my friend Rob had a wank at the beach.
Oh. Your friend Rob. Do you want to give his full name? Rob what? Rob.
Cowlin.
Rob Cowlin. He had a wank at the beach. That is that's something that's occurred. So keep your plimsolls on if you're at the beach this week, just in case. Which beach is it? If anyone's desperate for sperm, some people are. It's hard to fill those. Yes, there's not the Isle of Wight. Yeah, good. That narrows it down a little bit. One more. If there's one more, here we go. You're at the front. That's good.
I saw Stuart Lee about an hour ago.
You saw Stuart Lee about an hour ago. I was going to ask about this. How I thought this might happen. How did his ramshackle show compare to this highly honed piece of comedy? Did you enjoy it, Stuart Lee?
Right, it was one of the funniest things I've seen tonight.
It was one of the funniest things. It was one of the funniest things I've seen tonight. Is the review? Yeah, you have.
Would you like to have sex with me, lady? You can do.
That's
the
punishment.
And
that is. That's your punishment for your cheek. There'll be more about Stuart Lee later, no doubt. Okay, anything else happened to you, Emma Kennedy?
Well, you know the loaded thing?
I do, yeah. I'm hoping we'll win.
Well, don't get your hopes up, because something happened this week on Twitter that might affect you getting that prize. And basically, after you put up your tweet saying you'd been nominated, I went and voted for you, thinking it was the Andrew... Collings, I thought it was the Herring and Collings podcast.
It was this one.
I realised after I'd voted for myself. Anyway, I went through, because it's so complicated, the loaded voting system. I don't know if ever you've done it. You sort of get sort of trapped in this vortex of voting. And I got to the Twitter nominations, and they were the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen. It was literally like somebody at Loaded had just gone, "Who's off the telly and on Twitter?" Philip Schofield is apparently one of the funniest Twitterers in Twitterland. He's like, "What the fuck is that about?" And so I put a tweet up saying, these nominations are shit, they're rubbish. And thought no more about it. Then I got loads of tweets back. Thought no more about it. Anyway, the next day, Richard, I'm very sorry to have to tell you, that a journalist from Loaded got in touch with me on Twitter and sort of took great umbrage with the fact that I'd slightly said that their magazine was a bit shit and that their taste was rubbish. And I sort of engaged in a rather lengthy argument with him on Twitter, at the end of which my big sting to him, because he had this big thing of like, oh, we'll just leave it, yeah, Emma Kennedy, because you're never going to want to be nominated by Loaded for anything or turn up. And then, of course, I had the zinger of, well, technically, I'm up for one now, and I may well be turning up to your award ceremony, at which point he said to me, sort of, over my dead body, will you win that award? And I'm now going to send an email outlining your thoughts on Loaded Magazine and our award ceremony to number one, the organiser, number two, your good self, Richard Herring.
He hasn't emailed me yet.
He hasn't done that yet. Number three, the table planner. And number four, the editor. So he's gone right to the top of this.
Well, if they've heard this podcast, we're fucked anyway, aren't we? Yeah.
I think numbers one, three and four are the same person.
Hey, I'm sorry if I've mucked up your dream.
And number two. How do you think we got nominated? I actually run Loaded. I'm like a Cylon. Come in here. I'm a human skin. Oh, shut up. What's happened to you?
I also had we have a leak problem. We were trying to sort out with the council, and they said, we sent someone round, and you said you met him, and you said it was all right. And we thought, did we? Surely we'd remember that. And the thing that gives it away is that we would definitely remember it, is because the man's name, and it was Mr. On a Banjo. Mr. Sunday on a Banjo. I'd remember meeting him. So we've written back.
The other thing that interested me this week, I was watching the... You know, Marks and Spencer's got into trouble because they had Gene Hunt saying, oh, I like that bird dancing around in a knickers, and everyone got angry because they were being sexist. But it's good to see that Marks and Spencer's are following the AI Ottoman... The way I whispered that. Like a kind of Andrew Collins. Our handbook, a few weeks ago we said, you know, if people complain about stuff, you should get more offensive. And I don't know if you've seen the second advert, but it's got Joanna Lumley and the one off of French and Saunders, Jennifer Saunders, that's her. And when the black girl's dancing around in her pants, they say chocolate niggers. I don't know if you've seen it. So that's a little warning. Look out for it. She dances around, they go, chocolate niggers. But, you know, it's bad enough. Put chocolate on the front, it's just adding insult to injury. And he's tautologist, I would say. So it's a racist tautology. So look out for that. Do complain. I hope that people from the Daily Mail saw that. I can't believe they did that on an advert. Anyway, let's move on.
As it occurs to me, as acronym convention is to miss out the tiny words, shouldn't AI Ottima? Shouldn't AI Ottima? Shouldn't AI Ottima become merely oh.
It's a good point. That sting was written by listener Mark Webster. The evil hegemony of the iTunes one-star reviewers is over, my friends.
Sunday!
And another ridiculous journalist-generated non-controversy break. Some contestants in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, apparently caught and skinned and ate a rat to compensate for their meagre food rations. But the Australian RSPCA are now threatening them with legal action for cruelty to animals. To defend this insane decision, will you please welcome representative of the Australian RSPCA, Janet Coleman!
Hello, Rich Mike. Thanks for having me over and paying my plane fare and all that to get here.
Oh, sorry. We don't really have any money. We weren't paying your airfare. I should probably have mentioned that in the email. Sorry.
Struth, that's a bit shit house of you.
That's right. That's how an Australian talks. Janet, don't you think that this whole rap for Rory is a bit ironic, given that I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? The whole show just revolves around the murder of thousands of insects and the castration of marsupials.
Well, yeah, but you see, when Jimmy White is eating a koala cock, or Jordan is putting spiders in a clacker, then there's a representative of the Australian RSPCA on hand to check that there's no unnecessary cruelty.
Really? It all seems pretty unnecessary, random and cruel to me.
But it's okay, because I'm there watching it and noting it down, but doing nothing to stop it. You see, that's the crucial thing. But on the day that that bloke, whoever he was, and that other one from Hollyoaks ate the rat, there was no one from the RSPCA there to look at the cruelty, so that is illegal.
So as long as the RSPCA know in advance that there's going to be some animal cruelty and are there to witness any murders of animals that might happen, that's okay. Because they did the same thing without you being there to see it, they face a prison sentence of up to 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you understand perfectly. They killed a rat for entertainment purposes. That's 3 years in jail, mate.
Surely, they killed a rat because they were hungry, didn't they? I mean, you'd have to be pretty desperate to want to eat a fucking rat. I don't think they thought they were entertaining anyone, least of all themselves.
They killed a rat. I mean, one of the most beloved creatures on Earth, and I don't think there's a human being who wouldn't be appalled by their actions.
Well, I think there is, and I'm appalled that a TV programme exists that can be so cruel to human beings that they make them eat insects and wank off arachnids and starve them until they consider eating vermin. Don't you think that you're going about after the wrong people here?
They killed a rat.
I know everyone else in the world who's killed a rat has been applauded for doing that. No one likes rats. They're rats. Maybe if you like animals so much, you should be trying to stop the television programme taking place at all, rather than just stand by and watch as the animals you claim to like are munched to death by celebrities who aren't even famous. If the bloke who did this should be prosecuted for anything, it's for winning a show called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, when no one in the world has actually even heard of him before. I'm going to strangle this dog for entertainment purposes now. Is that okay with you?
As long as I'm here to observe and document the slaughter, then that is fine.
Good.
As it occurs to me, do you come from a land that treats rats better than it treats its indigenous people?
That sting courtesy of twittering listener Gavin Barber. Thanks for that. So if any of my beloved Aussie listeners were offended by that sting, then blame him, not me. He's easy to find on Twitter. His name's Gavin Barber. Personally, Australia, I find your racism delightful. And alas, that is Christian's last sting of the series, because he has a proper paid gig with money and stuff next week, so he won't be able to make the end of the series party last episode. It's awful.
Yeah, sorry about that. I've got to eat.
Nothing if not a sellout, Christ. Only unpaid work has any artistic merit. That's
all very well. I've got a young baby and he needs food and clothes, so sorry.
And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today it is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Hey, listen, don't think I haven't tried that exact argument on my wife, but she insists I go out and work.
Yeah, you know, you and Jesus might eat grass out of the oven, Richard Keith, but the rest of us need proper sustenance.
Listen, nice, oven grass is nice. Well, you say that, but I've laid around on my ass watching Battlestar Galactica all this week, and the washing up still got done somehow, so I don't... Thanks, Jesus, I believe in you, you're great. You know, being slapped in the face with Jesus' cock until he ejaculates into my eyes has made me realise that the years of atheism I've gone through were wrong. He came in my face, now I'm a believer. But I hope you Christians listened to what Jesus was saying there, because it was fucking mental. And I hope you follow that, you idiots. Still, next week in our final show, we'll be celebrating Jesus' birth. Please come along and see the live show if you can. Tickets already selling pretty well for that one, so book ahead if you want to join in the end of term party. That's the end of show 9. Only one more to go, and I'm free. Free! Went all right in the end.
Yeah, episode. It was good. Yeah, it was all right.
By the way, you know, last week you said there's going to be a smackdown between you and Stuart Lynn.
That's right, yeah.
And I think I remember you promised you'd be victorious. Yeah, well, I'm just curious. Who won?
Well, I think we've already heard the guy said I was the best in the audience. But yeah, well,
top two.
Well, if it if it comes to selling tickets / making money / selling out, then yeah, Stuart Lee won that little battle.
Right.
But if it comes to providing cutting-edge, exciting, raw comedy that challenges its audience...
Was that also Stuart Lee?
Yeah, that was... That is him. But when it comes to doing the best routine ever, incorporating the word clack-a-lack-a-dack-dack...
Oh, that's Stuart again, because he does 45 minutes on that. Using only the word clack-a-lack-a-dack-dack, said over and over again in different volumes and intonations, making it transcend from mere comedy to poetry and art.
That's all very well, but does Stuart Lee have his own internet sketch show that he puts together for free and makes no money out of, and which spends about 20% of its time referencing stuff that he did 10 to 15 years ago when he was on TV that no one apart from him actually remembers?
No,
he doesn't. No.
So I think we all know who's won that little smackdown. Anyway, if I fail, I succeed. So I've succeeded, which means I've failed, and so on. Anyway, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Never forget that. That's what I said. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. That's for other people to say. Anyway, it's nice to end for once without someone being burned to death or turning into a ghost or that other bollocks. And I'm really pleased. I just can't believe we managed to get through a whole show without once saying cumpkins. Oh, shit. Thanks very much for coming. Bye.
Me was written and performed by Richard Herring, me, Dan Settle, TV's Emma Kendi, and Christian Riley, with additional material from St. Matthew. It was produced by Ben Walker, with thanks to Damon Coldwell, Anne Francis, Kelly Enfield, Alice Russell, Rob Sedgbeer, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. A special thanks should go to Orange Mark and everyone at the Pod B and the British Comedy Guide. Orange Mark, it's an Avalon.
I don't know why I'm saying that again.
It's an Avalon and Sky Potato production, and all the people mentioned above are definitely going to hell. Some things even Jesus won't forgive.
Thanks for coming. See you next week.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.